All right, welcome into the latest Mountain West Connection podcast. Going through the team by team, as many as we can, previews for these out-of-conference games. As always, our website, mwcconnection.com. Jeremy Moss here, always hosting these type of podcasts. Stitcher, iTunes, Blog Talk Radio. We're on TuneIn as well. YouTube, when I get around to it. Just kind of depends if I have time to do so. We're going to talk Alabama today, and we have two teams who are going up against the Crimson Tide later this year. We have Fresno State September 9th, Colorado State September 16th for a return visit, or I guess second visit, since those two played a couple years ago. And to help us out from RollBamaRoll.com, we have Eric Evans with us. So, Eric, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing good this Sunday. We're trying to be ambitious here and talk to about 60 people about these non-conference games, so wish me luck.
Better you than me.
Exactly. Yes, with a dozen teams, it can get a bit dicey. So we're going through, like I said, we're going to quick preview over the team, over spring football. There's a few changes to Alabama, so let's just kind of start how we have been for these past couple we've done so far with me talking with the other teams. Give us your kind of big picture, 20,000-foot view of spring football since everybody's wrapped up now.
Yeah, as far as the national picture or just the Alabama?
No. Just Alabama. I don't care about Tennessee or Texas Tech or anything. Bama, come on.
The defense will be very fast. Probably the most athletic Alabama defense you've seen. And the offense will probably be the fastest, most athletic one you've seen. So I think there may be a drop-off in defensive production, particularly in sacks and pressures generated up front. But that's going to be more than offset because I think this offense can pick up another 7 to 8 points per game. So it's a far more aggressive team on both sides of the ball.
So, yeah, with the offense, you have a – let's go with that offensive part really quick. They have, what, three OCs in two games now? Lane Kiffin gone, Steve Sarkisian for the one game, and now you bring in from the Patriots, who is a Brian Doble.
Is he
going to do any different than, say, what Lane Kiffin did or what Nick Saban wants to do offensively?
Well, technically, it's four offensive coordinators because, Dable, who came over as a tight end coach from, the Browns and the Patriots, actually is a co-offensive coordinator with Mike Locksley. And, we still don't understand the breakdown in, who's going to be calling the plays. We believe it'll probably be Brian Dable. But, in the spring game, they both called the same offense against the ones and the twos on opposite sides of the sideline. And, you could see the same concepts and plays at work. And no matter who's running it, it's a far more aggressive offense than what you've seen, particularly under Lane Kiffin. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, the offense generated 40 points a game 3 years in a row. But that was primarily, in the West Coast offense, getting players in space, exploiting mismatches. This is just, particularly in the passing game, is really very aggressive. It takes a lot of shots downfield. It works the intermediate seams a lot. I think we'll see the tight ends, and we'll see a lot of, a lot of four wide sets at times.
All right, you mentioned a name I don't appreciate very well, New Mexico fans out here, because you mentioned Mike Locksley. Yes. I'm asking about him. Like, what are fans thinking about him coming over? Because with us at New Mexico, he basically killed the program. We know he's a great recruiter out in the Maryland area. So how did that come about for him getting kind of falling up to get a pretty good gig, like at Alabama being that co-OC?
It happened the same way that a lot of our field coaches came about. It's Nick Saban's home for wayward coaches. So he started off as, quality control / analyst. I mean, that's how Fresno State landed their head coach, from Eric Kiesau from Alabama. So they brought over a lot of guys who could recruit if moved to the field, for instance, like Mike Locksley. And they brought over a lot of talent from guys who know how to have a vertical passing offense, like Warner from Ole Miss, who was sort of forced out. Well, he's now a quality control / analyst coach, and a lot of the same concepts are showing up. And that's what happened with Mike Locksley. With the addition of the 10th field coach, Alabama was able to have someone to truly coach special teams for a change, as well as have, you know, a co-OC who worked with the unit. And Locksley was moved to the field to work with tight ends and to, you know, sort of help install the offense. So it was, you know, just a natural progression of additional coaching staff being available. I mean, I don't think any of us would trust him to run a program, but I mean, you obviously trust him on the field to, you know, generate some good offenses and, you know, in living rooms to talk to mama. So,
yeah, you would think so. He did okay. Like, he brought in a decent, well, New Mexico is hard to get players to anyways. We saw a little bit of uptick, but it overall, like running the program, it was, people were quite up. Well, it didn't go well, I'll say the least. They were basically, what, 125 out of 125 for a couple of years. It was a mess, but now with Bob Davey, they're doing some good things. So sticking with, stay in the offense. Jalen Hurts, quarterback, just reading up on what you guys wrote about spring football and everything else. It seems to be, I know you take what it is worth spring football for what you go up against for offense or defense, but it seems he's improved quite a bit because last couple of games, end of the year, Clemson, after that Mississippi State game, he didn't play all that well. But they're looking at what he did spring. He's chucking it down the field, having more of a downfield presence. Is that where you think that this offense could be more explosive because he's getting better himself in his second year as a starter?
Yeah, you know, I think last year was a couple of factors. Through the first two-thirds of the season, he was 29th in the country in deep pass efficiency. A lot of that is, you know, yards after the catch. Whereas the last third of the season, Alabama played five teams in the top 11 in total defense. And, you know, although by that point he was, you know, kind of battle hardened, you know, the difference in talent between, say, Mississippi State and Clemson is, you know, more than obvious. You know, playing LSU and Auburn, you know, is a lot different than, you know, some of the soup cans that were on the schedule earlier. So I think it was just a natural freshman, you know, progression against some of the harder teams in the country. But yes, he has certainly been a lot more aggressive, and, you know, he's trusting his throws more. You know, his incompletion percentage kind of went up towards the end of the year, but that's because he's a risk-averse quarterback. He will throw the ball out of bounds. Yeah, I mean, he throws the ball out of bounds rather than, you know, just throwing it in traffic. And now he's having to trust his arm and make those throws in traffic.
Yeah, that makes sense. Freshman guy, stuff happened. It's going into any FBS program, let alone best conference out there, playing against this great defense, would anybody would have some hiccups along the way. So with the players you've lost, you mentioned defense should be fine, as everybody should expect from Alabama. But overall, you had 10 draft picks in the recent draft. Where is it? It's just a machine there. Is it, assuming next guy up, for whether they're replacing like Reuben Foster, Tim Williams, anybody out, like even OJ Howard at tight end? Like, is it next guy come up and they expect the same production from those type of guys?
Well, you know, it's not that these guys sit on the bench for two or three years. I'm doing a feature right now, for instance, on the 3-4 defense to explain how linebackers work. So, for instance, as a true freshman, someone that plays that weak side, you know, outside linebacker may play a lot of special teams and may see a few snaps there. In their second year, they play, you know, more and more of an inside-outside role. That way, by the time they get to their third year, usually the smartest and most athletic guy is moving inside. I mean, so Nick Saban really has emphasized that football is more than anything a development game. And I think that's what you see with Alabama. Very few players are tasked with their first year stepping into, you know, the breach and having the same production as, you know, the upperclassmen who played before them. But they're more qualified to do that because they've spent two or three years, you know, sort of understudy, which is the best way to look at it. So there aren't ever true new starters, so to speak. These are guys who played in, you know, 12, 16, 18 games over the last two or three years and started in three or four of them.
That makes sense. It's just, you always see eight guys drafted, seven guys drafted, 10 this past year. It's like they just keep coming through. It's going to have this, it seems like it's the same thing every year, but yeah, it's development pipeline. You have backups, moving starters, contributors, getting more snaps. And it just makes sense. But it just seems that Alabama owns every good recruit out there every single year. And so it's like, who's Reuben Foster? Who cares? Who is Jonathan Allen? Great players, obviously, first round picks, but they just step in and like, yeah, we don't miss you after week two. So it's, I guess it's good for you, frustrating for other teams who play Alabama throughout the course of the year. So let me ask you this really quick. So what would be, you're going to be playing Colorado State and Fresno State. The Colorado State game a couple years ago was closer than people thought, but yet Alabama was still in control. They're both going to lose. I'm not kidding myself about that by one bit, but what would you say would be, say, a disappointing victory for Alabama, like winning that Colorado State game a couple years ago where it was pretty somewhat tough, or winning just like 21-3? What would kind of be like, oh man, we only beat this team by X amount of points?
I don't think a disappointing loss is one that's, you know, 3 points or 30 points. I think a disappointing loss is one where, you know, the effort level is really low, where mental mistakes are high. You know, after the, you know, Saban did, you know, his former offensive coordinator a solid and, you know, signed the contract to play the Rams. That 21-3 loss or 25-9, I don't remember exactly what it was, that really wasn't a very frustrating loss, you know, despite the fact that it wasn't a blowout. You could tell that it was a well-coached team that was, you know, tough and getting tougher. So that's not, you know, a disappointing loss in itself. A disappointing win. A disappointing win is something where, you know, you blow a team out of the water, like, say, Alabama did to Western Kentucky earlier last season, and there were just tons of mistakes. The offensive line could not, you know, generate consistent push for the running of the ball. The defensive line couldn't really get past Forrest Lamp. The secondary had an iffy game. I mean, Alabama wound up winning by 5 touchdowns, but that's a disappointing victory. It's not necessarily the scoreboard. It's truly where people are not playing between the ears like they should.
Yeah, we're just Fresno and these guys are like, well, let's just keep it close. Let's not embarrass ourselves. And I have a bit more confidence the Rams game will be a bit closer, because Fresno State with Jeff Tefford still, in my opinion, a mess out there from the past few years, even though they had, like I said, Eric Kiesau come in, help out, run the offense. He kind of got a raw deal. I got out of town when it was clear Jeff Tefford was the guy from day one, even before they made the move, Tim Drudor hire before. And the new AD is just a mess. But I think Fresno, like, I get your point. Like, you can win 60-0, but stuff happens where you make errors or mistakes. But I'm just hoping for Colorado State to maybe have something similar like last time, because if they keep it close, they'll give a lot of confidence. That's, I think, the hopeful is that play them somewhat tough, don't get embarrassed too bad, and use that game to help you out when you're playing Air Force or Boise State or whomever in the conference. So, yeah, so that type of stuff. So we'll see what happens in September. But, Eric, thanks for hopping on with us. Again, everybody, check out RollBamaRoll.com for everything Alabama. Got the two teams taking them on this year on the road early September. And, hey, we'll see what happens. But, hey, thanks for hopping on. And thanks again one more time for Eric Evans from RollBamaRoll.com to give us insight to Alabama spring football. Go check them out there. They're the SB Nation affiliate. Same thing on Twitter, Roll Bama Roll. Some good info from him. How about how the offense? I don't know how it could get much better. Not having Lane Kiffin. Sarkisian moved on to the Falcons. They bring in, forgot they had Mike Locksley. Man, when he mentioned that name, I'm like, cool, blast from the past. I didn't want to shield myself from that name for what he did in New Mexico, but he's a good recruiter, so maybe he'll be able to do some good things for Alabama. Not that they really need it, but that's just a familiar name people know about. And we'll see how the game goes, because like I said, to be frank, it's Rams are probably not going to win. Neither are Fresno State. Colorado State played them reasonably close a couple years ago. If I recall, they given a thrown a bone to Jim McElwain, who was the head coach, a former guy at Alabama out there in the SEC. So we'll see how that turns out. I'd say the Rams have a better chance of keeping it close and that 1% chance of pulling off the upset. But we'll see. Games got to be played, not till September. These are September 9th and 16th for both of these teams that they're taking on later this year, and Fresno and Colorado State. But we'll see how it goes. But yeah, again, thank you again, Eric, from hopping on with us. Again, our show, Blog Talk Radio, tune in Stitcher, iTunes, we're on YouTube. When I get around to it, sometimes I'm lazy on the YouTube portion, but it's there. You can find the show, so we appreciate for everybody listening. Again, tell your friends about the show, retweet the show, share it on Facebook. If I screw up and say a weird name, point that out, but share it as well so people can say, hey, what's this dummy? You can't pronounce this Polynesian name? Come on. What's his deal? Just give us a share. We'd like some more listeners because, again, it helps me, Matt, Eli, like we say, get some burrito money. We're not making a ton off of this, obviously. We might get 25 cents here, a couple bucks here or there, but it's all in good fun. I know people enjoy the show, so tell your friends. And, again, the show notes, we have some special offers. I rotate those in or out, so look over what we have to offer there. Maybe there's something to your liking that would help us out as well. But, again, thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading. And, as always, yes, we are biased.